Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that informs ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, and today we're going to talk about extended treatment for venous thromboembolism. Now, clinical practice guidelines currently recommend that people who experience an unprovoked DVT or pulmonary embolism should be acutely treated with antithrombotic therapy for a minimum of 3 months and should be considered for extended treatment for an indefinite period of time based on a periodic reevaluation of the benefits and risks of antithrombotic therapy. What is less clear is what agent should be used for extended prophylaxis. Traditionally, an oral vitamin K antagonist, such as warfarin, has been used, but in more recent years, the oral direct 10A and thrombin inhibitors have gained favor. However, long-term aspirin therapy has also been suggested. The recent publication of the Einstein Choice Study sheds new light on which approach is perhaps best. So joining me today is Dr. Sarah Anderson from the University of Colorado Skaggs School of Pharmacy. Dr. Anderson practices at the Denver Health Eastside Adult Internal Medicine Clinic. Sarah wrote a commentary with Ashley Huntsberry and Beth Carter entitled, It's All Relative, Einstein Choice, Rivaroxaban for Extended VTE Prophylaxis. Sarah, thanks for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Sarah, if you had to briefly summarize in just a few sentences the study entitled Rivaroxaban or Aspirin for Extended Treatment of Venous Thromboembolism, which was published in March 2017 in the New England Journal of Medicine, to someone who has not read that paper, what would you say?
I would tell them that this was a randomized, double-blind, phase 3 study that evaluated the efficacy and safety outcomes in nearly 3,400 patients who had completed 6 to 12 months of anticoagulation for VTE, who were at equipoise as to whether to continue anticoagulation. These 3,400 patients were randomized to receive either one of two doses of once-daily rivaroxaban or aspirin, and were followed for nearly 12 months. Among these patients with VTE who required extended treatment, the risk of a recurrent event was significantly lower with rivaroxaban at either treatment dose when compared with aspirin. There was no significant increase in bleeding rates in the rivaroxaban arms, and the incidence of adverse events was similar in all three groups. So this study adds to the growing body of literature that supports use of non-warfarin anticoagulants for extended anticoagulation therapy to prevent recurrent VTE.
Now, Sarah, you know every study has potential strengths and weaknesses, and I'm wondering what your analysis of this study is. What do you view as its strengths and weaknesses, and are there any potential confounders or sources of bias that may have impacted the internal validity of this study?
So I'll start with the strengths. I think it was great that, and it was very worthwhile, that the study compared rivaroxaban against an active comparator. We have data to demonstrate that both oral anticoagulants and aspirin are more effective than placebo at preventing VTE. So it was good to see the study investigators comparing rivaroxaban to an active comparator. The patient group was chosen was very appropriate. Those patients that were at a crossroads of whether to continue their anticoagulation or not represent a gray area in practice. And so studying this patient population is very informative to the medical community as a whole. Lastly, another strength of the study was that the number needed to treat using rivaroxaban over aspirin was very good. Between the two doses of rivaroxaban, the number needed to treat was only 30 to 33. So that was very positive. Now, when it comes to weaknesses of the Einstein Choice study, it was relatively short in duration. So although they followed patients for approximately 12 months, I think it was a mean of 351 days, that's actually not that long when you consider that this long-term therapy could be lifelong. And so it would be nice to see further data and further evidence when patients are on these therapies for longer. While the study did use an active comparator, it would have been or may have been better to have compared rivaroxaban against another anticoagulant rather than an antiplatelet agent. Einstein Choice was not powered as a non-inferiority study, so ultimately we don't know if the 10 milligram versus 20 milligram dose of rivaroxaban is preferred. In that same vein, patients who needed extended treatment with anticoagulation were excluded from Einstein choice, so it's unknown if the 10 milligram dose would be effective in that patient population. And lastly, while this was an international study that was conducted at multiple centers, the patient population was still 77% Caucasian, and the patients were relatively young. The average age was about 59 years old, and so those patient demographics may limit who we can extrapolate these study results to.
Now, we have several options to prevent recurrent venous thromboembolism. Warfarin therapy is being largely replaced by the new direct oral anticoagulants, rivaroxaban, apixaban, edoxaban, and dabigatran. Now, aspirin has also shown some efficacy, but given the results of this study, it appears that low-dose aspirin isn't the most effective choice. Nonetheless, aspirin is inexpensive, readily available, and requires minimal laboratory monitoring. Is there a place for aspirin therapy for the extended treatment of VTE? And if so, who might be a good candidate for aspirin therapy? Do you think a larger dose of aspirin, say 325 milligrams a day, should be recommended?
So to start, I'll go back to the 2016 CHEST guidelines on antithrombotic therapy for VTE disease because they make the following recommendation. Quote, in patients with an unprovoked proximal DVT or PE who are stopping anticoagulant therapy and do not have a contraindication to aspirin, we suggest aspirin over no aspirin to prevent recurrent VTE, end quote. Then they go on to comment, quote, because aspirin is expected to be much less effective at preventing recurrent VTE than anticoagulants, we do not consider aspirin a reasonable alternative to anticoagulant therapy in patients who want extended therapy. And then they go on to say as well, use of aspirin should also be reevaluated when patients stop anticoagulant therapy because aspirin may have been stopped when anticoagulants were started, end quote. Further, there have been studies that have compared aspirin versus placebo, and they found that aspirin prevents VTE recurrence by about one-third when it's compared against placebo. There are two studies, WARFASA, the warfarin and aspirin to prevent recurrent venous thromboembolism, and the ASPIRE study, which is just aspirin to prevent recurrent venous thromboembolism. Both of these evaluated aspirin versus placebo and used a dose of 100 milligrams. So I don't think a larger dose like a 325 milligram tablet is necessary based on the data that we have to date. And so overall, I think given the lower efficacy of VTE prevention with aspirin, its place in therapy would be best suited for a patient who does not wish to remain on an anticoagulant, but is willing to take something, is willing to take a medication for VTE recurrence.
So I want you to imagine you're seeing a 46-year-old Asian man who's just completed a six-month course of warfarin therapy for pulmonary embolism. Now, the patient was initially treated with enoxaparin and warfarin and has been followed in your anticoagulation clinic or, in your case, the internal medicine clinic. The pulmonary embolism appears to have been unprovoked, and the patient has no known risk factors for venous thromboembolism. This is the patient's first episode of venous thrombosis. No hypercoagulable states were identified during his workup, and he's not believed to have cancer, and he has no family history of venous thromboembolism. Now, while the patient has not experienced any bleeding while taking warfarin, he's had some difficulty keeping appointments due to his job. His INR has been in his goal range on most occasions, but he's had two INRs greater than four in the past 3 months. The patient has a high deductible health insurance plan, so he must pay the first $2,500 out of pocket each year. The patient is a school teacher, his wife does not work, and he has two teenage children at home. Would you recommend this patient continue warfarin therapy, switch to one of the new direct oral anticoagulants, and if so, which one and at what dose? Or would you actually recommend aspirin therapy because of the cost issues? Finally, if this patient was 71 years old, would your recommendations be any different?
So first, I'd like to say I think this case represents a great opportunity for shared decision-making with the patient. As we can see throughout the case, there are many facets to this patient's life that might influence what we ultimately choose or what he ultimately chooses to do. But first, I think it's important to inform the patient that once he discontinues his warfarin therapy, his risk of clot recurrence is about 10% within the first year and then approximately 5% annually thereafter for about a five-year cumulative risk of 30%. The patient also happens to be male, which puts him at a 75% higher risk of recurrence compared to a female patient. And lastly, he should know that the 30-day mortality rate with a pulmonary embolism or PE is at least twice as high as that of a DVT, which is something to consider when we're weighing whether we continue his anticoagulation therapy or not. Again, the CHEST guidelines recommend for a person with a first unprovoked VTE, like this patient's PE, who are at low or moderate risk of bleeding, should have their therapy extended with no scheduled stop date. The CHEST guidelines go on to state that if a patient is extending his or her treatment, there is no obligation to switch agents, but if there are reasons to switch, this should be done. So given the CHEST guideline recommendations, the data showing benefit in reducing recurrent VTE with either an anticoagulant or aspirin, and this patient's presumably low risk of bleeding based on what we know about him from the case, continuing therapy should be strongly considered. Now, that being said, for this patient, cost could be a considerable issue if switching from warfarin to one of the new direct-acting oral anticoagulants. Given the fact that he's likely insured with private insurance, he most likely qualifies for drug company coupon programs that may reduce the cost of his medication, but there are often time limits to how many of those you can use or how many refills they cover. Alternatively, the patient seems to have done well on warfarin, and this could be continued with regular INR checks if he's willing, but the cost of the INR checks and or the copays for point-of-care INR visits might be cost prohibitive as well. I think that in either of those cases, if the cost or the monitoring are truly a burden and going to prevent the patient from taking an anticoagulant, that's when aspirin at 100 milligrams a day, or with what we have in the United States, 81 milligrams a day could be an alternative, albeit a less effective one to an anticoagulant. I think based on Einstein choice, rivaroxaban 10 or 20 milligrams is very appropriate. In fact, the manufacturer of rivaroxaban recently submitted a supplemental new drug application the end of April to get the 10 milligram dose approved for this exact scenario. Continuing warfarin is also an option as long as he can afford and adhere to the monitoring parameters. Or third line would be switching the patient to aspirin. But I think in any case, the patient qualifies for some sort of extended therapy. Regardless of what strategy is chosen, the decision to either anticoagulate or use aspirin in this patient should definitely be reevaluated on an annual basis. And then lastly, if the patient was 71 years old, my recommendation might be different. The patient might have different insurance. So if the patient was then on Medicare or a Med Part D plan that covered a new agent, that might be an easier switch. The patient might have different bleeding risk factors, though, being 71 years old. So I would need an updated history and updated information on the patient to truly understand whether the benefit of continuing therapy outweighed the risk in him.
Well, Sarah, I want to thank you for joining us today to discuss the extended treatment of venous thromboembolism. It's clear from your comments that you believe rivaroxaban, as well as some of the other direct oral anticoagulants, can be used in this kind of scenario. But aspirin is an effective agent, perhaps not as effective as the direct oral anticoagulants or warfarin, but it's a therapy that we can consider, particularly in patients who have financial constraints. Well, tell us what you think. Should we preferentially recommend the direct oral anticoagulants for extended treatment of venous thromboembolism? Is there even a role for aspirin therapy? Only iFormRx members can leave comments and use the interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free. Sign up today. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.